Matthew chapter 8. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and he said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in the bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah: "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases."
I've never opened a sermon with a Karl Marx quote before, but I'm going to do it. Karl Marx, if you don't know him, was the father of communism. And he wrote some slum-up bad things. He wrote one thing, which he's quite famous for. He said, "Religion is the opiate or the drug of the masses." By which he meant, people who are weak need religion. People who are strong don't. It is for weak people who need something to depend on. And so an alcoholic depends on alcohol. They kind of drink a lot of alcohol to bury their sorrows and to get by in life. And a religious person, well, they have religion to get by in life. You may have heard the more modern version of that: Christianity is just a crutch for weak people. I don't know if anybody's ever said that to you. Someone said that to me. Christianity is the crutch for weak people. And it doesn't sit very well with us, does it? Because weakness is not something we strive for. We don't want to be weak. We don't want to be seen as weak. We don't want to be seen as needy. They're not popular in our culture. In fact, in our culture, what do we value? We value strength. We value independence. We value self-sufficiency, standing on your own two feet and getting things done. And so the idea of someone calling us weak, we don't like that at all. I was chatting to a friend recently, and she explained that she didn't really want to talk about what she was struggling with emotionally because it would make her seem weak, and she didn't want to seem weak. And we understand that, don't we? We don't like to be seen as weak. Nobody wants to be that needy person. You know that needy person? They just can't seem to do anything for themselves. They always need someone else. But there's a problem, isn't there? And the problem is, we are needy. We are human, therefore we are needy. We are weak and needy. It is intrinsic to our nature. We had to be made in the first place. We needed a creator. We couldn't make ourselves. And we need someone to keep us alive. constantly, day by day, minute by minute, second by second. We need someone to keep us alive. And so we have two problems. One, we like to be strong and independent and self-sufficient. And two, the reality of being human is we are dependent, we are not self-sufficient, and we are weak. And so we come up with all sorts of odd ways of dealing with things. So, have you heard of Valeria Lukyanova?
No.
Okay, Al hasn't heard of her anyway. She is the woman who was attempting to become the human embodiment of Barbie. Now you might know who I'm talking about. Her picture's been on Facebook a few times and social media. She has revealed, I'll read the story, she's revealed that she is training to survive without food. Yeah, Valeria Lukyanova, her arduous efforts to maintain such a slim figure have led the 28-year-old to practice something called breatharianism. It's a real thing. It's a little-known doctrine, surprisingly, whose followers say they subsist on air and sunlight only. There you go. She says, in recent weeks, I've not been hungry at all. I'm hoping it's the final stage before I can subsist on air and light alone. That's what she told the International Business Times. With a waist as small as 50 centimetres, the Ukrainian model and singer says she is becoming an advocate of breatharianism. It's described as an unusual movement which has come under fire, and get this, it has come under fire for the starvation deaths of people who allegedly adopt it, believe it or not. A little insight into Miss Lukyanova. Believing that she is from outer space and can speak with aliens through light, Ms. Lukyanova also believes she has the ability for time travel. There we go. But we have this thing where we like to believe we don't need the basic necessities of life given to us. We can be self-sufficient and independent and strong. And yet actually we do need those things. Miss Lukyanova can pretend all she likes that she doesn't actually need food. The reality is, in a few weeks' time, if she doesn't eat, she will die. Just like everybody else, apparently, who follows breatharianism. Because we need food to survive. We are people, therefore we are weak. And in the passage tonight, we have three people who are described as weak. We actually have a whole crowd, but three people are highlighted as having a weakness. And the thing is, those people recognize that they need someone or something outside of themselves to cope and to live. They know they need help. And the question for us is, are we like these people who recognize that we are human and we need help or not? And we're not just human and so weak. We are sinful human, and so we are weak and we are doomed to destruction. And so we need even more help. We need someone strong. We need someone with authority. And the passage tonight shows us who that is. And Matthew is going to beat us over the head with this for the next two chapters. He is going to thump us over and over and over again and say, this is the person you need, and yes, you do need them. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those Coke machines that you put your coin in and you press your button and your Coke comes out the bottom. Or the food ones. What happens when your coin doesn't drop? You push it in and you kind of go, that coin didn't drop. What do? You pound on the side, pound, 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 until you hear the click and the coin drops and you get your can. Matthew's treating ours like Coke machines. And he's putting the coin in, the truth, in this passage, and he's going to pound on our heads over and over and over and over again until it drops. Because he knows we're stubborn and he knows we're hard-hearted. And he knows what we really want to do is stand on our own two feet and say, I'm self-sufficient and I'm independent and I'm strong and I don't need anyone. And he's going to pound away on us for the next two chapters. A little bit of context before we do. If you remember back, Tim went through chapters 5 to 7 of Matthew with us, the Beatitudes and then the teaching that followed. Jesus went up on a mountain, he took his disciples with him and he said, I'm going to teach you a lot of really important things. And he did. And basically, he taught us why we need him. And he finished by saying, anybody who builds their life on anything but Jesus will not survive. And when he finished speaking, the people said, have a look at verse 28 and 29, chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Jesus had authority in his teaching. And Matthew's going to spend two chapters showing Jesus has authority in the way he lives and everything he does. Matthew says, here is a man with authority. The needy characters we have, let's look at them. We have a leper. Verses 1 to 4, I'm going to stay forward because, is that? Yep, I won't step back. Verses 1 to 4, we have a leper. Lepers were outcasts in society. They were unwanted. The second person we have is a centurion, but he's not just a centurion, he's a Gentile centurion. And in Jewish society, Gentiles were unclean and dirty. And then we have, worst of all, a mother-in-law. I don't have one, so I can get away with saying that. Obviously, it's not the fact that she's a mother-in-law, it's the fact that she's a woman. And in Jewish society, women also did not achieve full status. So we have three different people, a leper who's unclean, a Gentile who's unclean, and a woman. And each of them come to Jesus because they know they have a need. Let's look. First of all, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 8, the leper. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. It's interesting, right at the start, to note what the leper says. Have a really careful look. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He doesn't say you can make me well. He says, you can make me clean. Now, leprosy is an infection of the skin, and it's very infectious as well, very contagious. And if in Jewish society you had leprosy, you were termed literally as unclean. Let me read something from Leviticus. If you want to follow, Leviticus 13. There's a whole chapter describing skin diseases and infectious skin diseases, and this is how it finishes. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. So the man we're introduced to in chapter 8 is a leper, which means he lived outside of the city. He was isolated and lived alone. And when someone came near him, he had to call out, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine the level of isolation for this man? We talked last week, a few weeks ago, about singleness and said one of the struggles of singleness can be that you feel a little bit isolated and you don't get that intimacy. Imagine someone, you can't even go near him. Nobody will touch him. Nobody will go close. If they did come close, he has to warn them off by saying unclean. This guy is constantly reminded of the fact that he is dirty and unclean and he is completely isolated. He knows he has a need. And he thinks Jesus is the one who can help. And so he comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus' response is both extraordinary and it's eloquent. Because what does he do? Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. This is a guy who has not felt human touch since he first got leprosy, whenever that was. He has been completely isolated, had no intimacy. And Jesus reaches out and he touches him. And he says, I am willing, be clean. Just like that, Jesus expresses for us how compassionate he is. Because he knows the man has not felt human touch, how isolating that is, and how filthy he would feel as a result. And Jesus shows he cares. And he touches the man. We're told at the end of chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Jesus was filled with compassion all the way through his ministry. He came to earth because he was compassionate. And Matthew is being clear here in the detail he gives that Jesus is compassionate. But he's not just compassionate, he is so powerful because look what happens. Jesus says, I am willing, be clean, and immediately he was cured of his leprosy. When you touch an infectious man who has leprosy, the infection spreads to you. When Jesus touches an infectious man, He doesn't get the man's infection. He infects him with his own purity. He puts his hand on, and he infects the man with his own purity. And just like that, bang, he's clean. Matthew is saying to us here, there are two things that ooze from Jesus all the time. One, he is compassionate, and two, he has remarkable authority, not just in what he teaches, but in what he does. And so we go on to the centurion, the next person he meets. Verse 5, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. This man is one of my Bible heroes. I don't know if you have a Bible hero, if you have a hero at all. This guy is right up there at the very top for me, is for Bible heroes. Here's why. He is a man. Like, he is a man. He is a soldier. You know? He's tough. He's not just a soldier, but he is a centurion. So he has to tell all those tough soldiers what to do and make sure they do it. He is a hard man. And yet we see here, he is humble enough to come to Jesus and ask for help. And we're going to see in a second his wisdom as well. He has incredible humility and incredible wisdom because he comes to Jesus and he says, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus says, I will go and heal him. Now again, remember, Gentile home. Jesus is not allowed to enter a Gentile home without becoming unclean. And yet Jesus says, I'm willing to help. He has compassion again and says, I'm willing to help. But the Gentile, the centurion, replies, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus is astonished by this man. I feel happy praising him because the guy is astonished. Jesus is astonished by this guy. Only twice is Jesus ever talked of as being astonished in the Bible. One is in Mark 6, verse 6, when he's astonished by somebody's lack of faith. Here, he is astonished by somebody's faith. Because a centurion understands who Jesus is. Listen to what he says. Verse 9, I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. He understands what authority means. Authority means if you say something, it gets done. You have people underneath you, and they do it. And he says to Jesus, I know the kind of authority you have. And if you say to my servant, be well, he will be well, because you have authority. That is the kind of guy he recognizes Jesus is. And what is the result? Verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And what happens? His servant was healed at that very hour. The centurion's right. Jesus has absolute authority. He can heal a man he has never seen and never met just with words. Just like that, bang, and he's healed. Matthew's going to keep beating us over the head with this over and over and over again in these chapters. Jesus has absolute authority. Absolute. And so we come to Peter's in-law. Verse 14, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. What does he do? He touches her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. We're not even told that she asked for help. Jesus saw she was sick. She had worse than man flu. She was actually in bed with a fever. And all Jesus does is reach out, touch her, and the fever leaves. And I don't know if you've ever had really bad flu, real flu. And after the flu leaves your system, you're still weak for days afterwards. This woman immediately gets up and waits on Jesus. That is how powerful he is. He doesn't just take away her fever. He replaces the strength she needs. Here is a man, Matthew is saying, over and again, with authority. And he goes on, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. The mental wards and the hospitals in Capernaum got emptied. They all brought them to Jesus, and with a command or a touch, he heals them all. Matthew is saying, this man is full of compassion, and this man has absolute authority. Three times in 15 verses, we see a remarkable combination of absolute authority and absolute compassion combined in one man. I don't know if you've ever seen power at work, real power. Apparently, according to the Forbes list, the five most powerful people on earth are Vladimir Putin, Barack Obama, Xi Jinping, Pope Francis, and Angela Merkel. Apparently, they are the five most powerful people on our planet. Now, I cut my thumb a couple of weeks ago. It was quite bad. It was quite a lot of blood. I know, you can still see it's quite scarred. If I had these five coming around for dinner, and they walk in and they see my finger bleeding, and I say to them, look, you guys are the most powerful people on earth. There's almost nothing you don't have at your fingertips. Can you please just heal my thumb? What's the bet? They couldn't do it. I see Nick here. He's got a bad ankle. Those five most powerful people in the world walk in, and he says, can you please heal my ankle? I just don't think they could do it. Of course, over time, his ankle will get better, and he can get good medical care, but it's not going to be like that, like Jesus does. Nobody does that. I mean, who does that? The five most powerful people in the world, I guarantee, with their forces combined, they cannot do that. And yet this man, with a word or a touch, does it. A centurion humbly begs Jesus to heal his paralyzed servant, and he does it without ever meeting him with a word. A leper comes to Jesus and says, please make me clean. And Jesus touches him, and he is clean. If you want to see absolute power and absolute authority, you don't have to look any further than chapter 8 of Matthew to a man who humbly walks this planet, touching and giving words and doing absolutely miraculous things. That is authority. And so Matthew says to us in verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. Matthew is saying, in the Old Testament, it was foretold of a very peculiar person who was going to come and he would have incredible power, and yet he would suffer because he had compassion on his people. Matthew is saying, this is that man. He is a unique combination of absolute authority and great compassion. He has the power to take away all our infirmities and all our diseases by taking them on himself. He is the one in chapter 8, verse 26, who with a word calms a raging storm. He is the one in chapter 9, verse 6, who doesn't just heal a paralytic, but he says, your sins are forgiven, and they are forgiven. Matthew says, this is the one with all power. And he says, when you read the book of Revelation, and you see the one who rides on a white horse at the head of heaven's armies, in garments of pure white, with a tattoo on his thigh that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and no one stands in his way, this is that man. He has that kind of authority and power. Absolute authority. And Matthew is bashing us over the head over and over and over again. He keeps doing it through chapters 8 and chapter 9. He says, this one here who walks among lepers and Gentiles, amongst the sick and the demon-possessed, he is the one with all power and authority and with great compassion. He is the doctor who has come to save the sick. He is the Savior who has come to save sinners. He has come to take our wounds and our curse and our sin and our punishment on himself. And he is the one who can do it. And some of the people he walked among actually recognized that. The leper recognized that. The centurion recognized that. The hordes of sick and demon-possessed and their friends recognized that. Throughout these chapters, people see Jesus is the one who can help them. What I love about this is it is not irrelevant to anyone in here. This applies to every single person in this room. Because when we go back to what I said at the start, we all are in need. We live in a perpetual state of need. And Matthew is saying here, the life of a Christian is a life of someone who puts their hand up and says, I need help. And I recognize Jesus is the one with the authority and the compassion to help me. And when I was writing this, I was kind of like, that can't be all there is to this sermon. Jesus has authority and compassion and we need him. Because we've all heard that. And this is your very first time in church, you've heard that before. And yet actually, that is the point. That is it. Because this isn't just something you believe when you first become a Christian. This is something you're committed to every single day of your life as a Christian. I am weak and I am unclean and I am helpless and I need Jesus. Jesus is the only one with the authority and the compassion and the ability and the willingness to actually help me. And I cannot survive as a Christian without. And Jesus says in verses 11 and 12, I skipped them before, that is the sort of person who is in heaven. He says, I tell you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says, no one has the right to be in the kingdom of heaven. No one is there by right. And those Jews who thought they did because of their birthright were going to be bitterly disappointed. They were going to be thrown out with the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Jesus says, being a good person is not enough. Being strong and capable and independent and self-sufficient will not get you in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is made for people who do not deserve to be there, but who know it. In Matthew 18, verse 2, Jesus calls a little child. He has him stand in the middle of the disciples, and he says this, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is packed full of people who are unworthy to be there, people who are weak and needy and vulnerable. It's filled with sinners. It's filled with people who recognize that Jesus has absolute authority and complete compassion and is the only one who can save them. That is who is in the kingdom of heaven. And so Christians are people who need a crutch. We are. We recognize that we need a crutch. We cannot get by in this life or the next on our own. We are weak and we are unclean, and we are needy. Yes, we are needy. It's horrible, isn't it? We are needy people. We need a Savior. And Matthew says, Jesus is the one with the power and the authority to help us, and we are the ones with the need. And so, don't be fashionable. Don't fit in with culture and be independent and self-sufficient and strong. Because that's not the people who are in the kingdom of heaven. Don't be, you've never heard this term before, a Christian breatharian. Don't be someone who says, the most basic and important thing in life I do not need. I'll be okay on my own. Because if you do, you starve and you die and you get turfed out with the rest of the people with the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. That is not who Christians are. We are utterly dependent on Jesus. And that should be evident in everything we do, from our prayer to our Bible reading to our day-to-day conversation to our evangelism to people who don't know Jesus yet, to everything we do in life. It should be evident that we are needy people and that Jesus is the one that for us fulfills that need. And so I have a Packer quote to finish, much better than Karl Marx. I have a little test for you. Packer says this: "I believe that prayer is the measure of the man or woman spiritually in a way that nothing else is, so that how we pray is as important a question as we can face." Why do I finish with that? Because prayer expresses our need or lack of it. If we are prayerless, we are saying something about what we believe. We are saying, "I don't believe I need Jesus. I'm strong enough and self-sufficient enough and independent on my own, and I don't need him for this day." And Matthew says, you really, really do. The whole Bible screams out, you need him. You need him every second of every minute, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, for the rest of your life. And then you're going to need him for all of eternity as well. And so one of the ways to test what our belief is in our heart about our need for Jesus is to look at our prayer life and say, do I pray? Because we all know it's not because we don't have time. We all know it's because of what we believe deep down in our hearts. That flows out in our prayer or our lack of it. It's just one thing I've picked. But test yourself. Do you really realize how much you need Jesus? And do you realize he's the one who can help? And do you go like the leper and the centurion and come to him and fall on your knees before him and say, I need you. I need your help. Or do you just merrily go along your way, terribly needy, but not asking for help and not looking to Jesus? That's Christianity 101. Nice and simple. Next week, we're going to look a little bit more at discipleship, what it means to actually be one of those people in the kingdom of heaven, how you live. But for now, Christianity 101. You are weak and you are needy, the same as me. I need someone so much more powerful than myself. And Matthew says that one is Jesus. And he is willing to help if we just ask. So just ask.